mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
For almost a year now, we have been working our way week by week through the Gospel according to Mark. This is Mark's year in the lectionary cycle. And we are now nearing the end. There are only four more Sundays in the church year. Only four more Sundays before Advent begins. And next Sunday, we'll actually take a break from the regular lectionary readings to focus on All Saints' Day, to commemorate All Saints. So we have three more Sundays in Mark's Gospel. And in the passage that we heard today, Jesus and his disciples are on the way to Jerusalem. Jericho lies geographically at the very foot of the mountain. As the road starts to ascend up towards Jerusalem. The story that we heard today in Mark's Gospel is the last event in Jesus' teaching and ministry before the drama of Jesus' final days in Jerusalem begin. It's a simple story, a simple and straightforward story. There are basically three characters, three participants in this story. Jesus, of course, and Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, and the third participant is the crowd of Jesus' followers, Jesus' disciples. So other than Jesus, there's Bartimaeus and the crowd. Bartimaeus can't see, the crowd won't hear. One commentator described the crowd as the unlistening. I think both Bartimaeus and the crowd have something to teach us, something to offer to us. And I suspect that each of us, at one time or another, has been Bartimaeus and has been a part of the crowd. Maybe we're even both at the same time. Bartimaeus is somebody who needs help. Somebody who needs help. He didn't choose to be blind. We don't know why or how he lost his sight. The reading implies that he had been sighted earlier, that he could see earlier, but has somehow lost his sight. And as someone who was blind in that time, in that day and age, he would have been cast out. He would have been marginalized by society, left with begging along the roadside as his only potential means of survival. And yet the reading tells us that Bartimaeus has faith. And it's helpful to stop for a minute and think about, potentially at least, what that really meant for Bartimaeus. It does not seem, certainly in the interaction between Jesus and Bartimaeus, it does not seem that Bartimaeus had some particular quality of faith that won him Jesus' favor. It does not seem that Bartimaeus ascribed to correct doctrine in any particular way that qualified him for Jesus' attention. It was not a particular quality or a particular characteristic of his faith that was important, nor was it a particular quantity of faith. Jesus doesn't mention quantity. Jesus doesn't say to Bartimaeus, on the faith meter, you score 8.5, so you win. Jesus just sees somebody who calls out to him, to Jesus, for help. Someone who looks to Jesus for help. One commentator described the nature of Bartimaeus' faith as the persistent belief. I might have said the persistent hope, but the persistent hope that Jesus has the ability to make a difference and just might do it. That's what Bartimaeus carries within him. That's what Bartimaeus brings to Jesus, and Jesus recognizes in Bartimaeus the persistent hope, the persistent hope he keeps crying out, the persistent hope that Jesus has the ability to make a difference and Jesus just might do it. And the gift that Bartimaeus is given is the return of his sight. And yet for the crowd, the gift of hearing, is also very desperately needed. Very desperately needed by those people who have been, it appears, willfully deaf to Bartimaeus' cries. Those followers of Jesus, those who are traveling with Jesus, who, in spite of their proximity to Jesus and the time they have spent journeying with him, are yet oblivious to Jesus' priorities and his compassion. Those who try to silence Bartimaeus willfully choose not to hear his voice. Why was it that they didn't want to hear Bartimaeus? Why is it that we so often don't want to hear voices around us? We can only speculate on behalf of Jesus' followers back then. Maybe they were just busy. Maybe they were in a hurry to get to Jerusalem and to get back home for whatever was next on their agenda. We've got to keep moving, Jesus. Things to do, places to be. We don't have time for distractions. Maybe they didn't want to hear Bartimaeus because he was a distraction from their own agenda with Jesus. They had their own hopes, their own plans for what Jesus would bring or do for them. You may remember last week, James and John were jockeying for primacy in Jesus' favor. They don't need someone else chiming in as a distraction from their own hopes, their own agenda with respect to Jesus. Or maybe they were just tired of the shouting. Tired of all the noise and wanted that persistent voice to be quiet. There are any number of reasons why they or we might not want to hear the voices of those near us who are in need, the voices of the marginalized, pushed aside by society, the voices of the lonely and the hurting who are in our midst, the voices of those who are different, who bring a different perspective. Jesus stops. Jesus hears Bartimaeus, and he stops. He stops to listen, and he tells the disciples, he tells the crowd, to bring Bartimaeus near. He tells the crowd and he tells us that Bartimaeus is worth stopping for and worth listening to. That everyone is worth listening to. Not just those in need and the marginalized and the lonely and the different, but everyone is worth listening to. How often do we, particularly in the midst of the noisy world in which we currently live, think or say, I won't listen to that voice. I can't listen to that voice. I have no time for that voice. I wish that that voice or those voices would just go away. I feel that way often in the current political milieu. Some time ago, I know at least once before, I've talked with you about StoryCorps, about the organization StoryCorps. StoryCorps is a group that has as its mission facilitating conversations, making conversations between people happen. All sorts of conversations. They describe their mission this way, in part. They say, over the last 15 years, StoryCorps has perfected, has put together a method for helping people feel more connected to one another, and for reminding us of the inherent worth of every person and every story. People come together to have otherwise impossible conversations. The microphone gives them license to talk about things they otherwise might not discuss. StoryCorps has a new initiative that they have begun just within the last year. They say, we are asking people with different political views to record a StoryCorps interview with each other. Why? To break down boundaries created by politics and remember our shared humanity. To remind us that we have more in common than divides us, and that treating those with whom we disagree with decency and respect is essential to a functioning democracy. StoryCorps is not a Christian organization, and yet their mission is profoundly faithful, profoundly hopeful, to respect the dignity and worth of every human being and to facilitate connections between people. Jesus was all about that. We, as followers of Jesus, are all about that. StoryCorps' new initiative is called With One Small Step, and it celebrates, as we as people of faith celebrate, that the little actions, the individual actions, are important, that they make a difference. They make a difference in who we are, and they make a difference in who the world is. With one small step, StoryCorps says, we are seeking to counteract intensifying political divides by facilitating and recording conversations that enable people who disagree to listen to each other with respect on both sides. As much as I support the work of StoryCorps, and I do, and I have for years, I don't always take the time to listen. To listen to the interviews that are recorded and presented week after week, day after day, just every now and then. Don't listen. It takes time. It takes commitment to listen. Even to listen to other people's conversations. It takes time. It takes commitment to listen to others within conversation. I want to share with you, just because I think they're interesting, I want to share with you some of the questions that StoryCorps offers for folks of different political viewpoints to have a conversation. And I would encourage you, in particular, as you hear these, to think about how you would answer them. If someone were to ask you these questions, how would you answer them? If your imagination is fertile, you can think about asking someone across the political spectrum from yourself. We can't have these conversations with public figures. We don't have the opportunity to, but we can have them within our neighborhoods and within our families. Think first about how you would answer. And then imagine, perhaps, a conversation with someone with whom you differ, a voice you might not always want to hear. Was there a moment, event, or person in your life that shaped your political views? Was there a moment, an event, or a person that shaped your political views? What is most hurtful to you about what people across the political divide say about people on your side and in your life? Do you believe that there are some threads that bind us all together, even when it seems there is more that divides us? What do you think they are, those threads? Church can be one of them. Can you think of any traits you admire in people on the other side of the political divide? Thinking again, particularly locally, amongst those you know personally. It seems to me, these days, that no one is asking these questions that matter, and that no one is taking the time to listen. But Jesus calls us to listen. Jesus calls us to stop and listen to the voices around us. To put aside our preoccupations, our prejudices, and listen. To model and embody Jesus' own care for Bartimaeus. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the prayer of St. Francis, the prayer attributed to St. Francis, which is so much, I'm supposed to talk about it next week, but anyway, which is so much a part of the fabric of this worshiping community, has been for so long. Grant that we may not so much seek to be understood as to understand. We might add another clause to it. Grant that we may not so much seek to be heard as to hear. And remember also that we are Bartimaeus too. We have our own needs, we have a voice to raise on behalf of others, and as we go through life, may we carry Bartimaeus's faith, Bartimaeus's sort of faith, in all that we do. That persistent, persistent hope that Jesus has the ability to make a difference and that he just might do it in our lives and in our world. Amen.